realized I didn't open my script. Okay. Anyways, welcome back to Pint-Sized Art History. I'm Danny. I'm the size, and I have Squid here, and our friend Caleb, who came back because finally it's time to talk about Banksy.
Finally,
it's time for me to come back.
Yes. I would have you here all the time, but you live further from us than I would appreciate it. So, why don't now that we've gone through that, let you guys introduce yourselves. For those who haven't listened to this podcast, we talk about art history and drink beer, and I bring my friends on this.
We come along for the journey.
Yeah.
Here for the ride. I'm Squid.
Here for the friendship. Here for the friendship.
Here for the beer, stay for the friendship.
Here for the beer, stay for the friends. I'm
That's
Caleb.
How I hook you.
I'm eager to start drinking.
Yes. So let's get to that. I will say thank you, Caleb, for being the first person to buy a sticker from us. Ooh, oh, so excited.
That's there are only 8 left, and I'm the first person to buy the sticker?
Yeah.
Limited edition.
That's called scarcity.
Yeah. One was for Squid, one was for me, and now there's one for you.
Perfect.
Yes.
I can't wait to get it. I'm not sure where I'm going to put it, but I'll put it somewhere prominent.
Nice.
Get them while they're hot.
Yeah. They're on our Ko-fi, which they're will really be linked. Cool. Yeah.
You did a great job on them.
Thank you. I want to make more, but we'll see how people like them. I was like, it would be fun to do a Pint-Sized Art History Sticker of the Month Club, and then I do different artworks every month where they're drinking beer or have beer
that's,
in it.
That's great. You would never run out of content because you know how much art's out there?
So much.
That's a lot.
At least 30 million. Yeah.
And I ain't going to live that many months. So we'd do great.
We got to hurry.
Yeah.
Get it.
Get going.
Get on it.
Sticker of the second. Still wouldn't make it. I also did get an email while I was running right before this episode, and I checked my phone.
From Banksy?
No, not from Banksy. If only.
He's already suing.
Yeah. We're going to talk about his want for money.
Did he appear in court? Or does he have a representative appear?
I feel like he would show up and he'd be wearing like the Shia LaBeouf suit.
No, it'd be like the Shia LaBeouf paper bag over his head.
He would take the evidence and he would shred it, but only halfway down.
Yeah.
Fail to shred the evidence.
I'd be like, what's his face? Who's the cowboy guy?
Clint Eastwood?
No.
No.
That's the only cowboy guy I care about.
He's a singer, and his face is always covered.
He's got the like the luchador mask with the fringe.
It's not a luchador mask.
That's what it looks like.
What are you drinking, Caleb?
I'm drinking a Propagator Series Galaxy Single Hop IPA made with Australian hops. Made in Australia.
Very
Australia. Brewing Company. Australia. Dianda. And I'm also drinking a Union Jack IPA.
He's double fisting it.
That's Banksy. I am double fisting.
I realized I stopped mid-sentence because I got distracted by Banksy emailing me. But the email was that I've had 500 downloads to this podcast.
Woo, 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 woo.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Which is really exciting. Because I know that only like 16 of those are Squid's mom.
It's true.
That's amazing.
So I don't know who else I can point out as doing that, but...
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, thank you to all of our fans.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And no longer anyone in Ohio.
Yeah, no one from Ohio listened to us anymore since Squid bullied them off the podcast fan list.
I either bullied them off of listening to the podcast, or I bullied them into moving out of Ohio. And
that's
truly,
true.
Win-win.
I'm just going to say, if we're going to choose one state to just incessantly bully...
Florida.
As an inside joke for the podcast, it's Ohio's great.
Florida gets enough like flack from everyone.
That's right. I feel like Florida, hating Ohio is a very Midwest thing because I did not hate Ohio in Oregon.
What are you drinking, Danny?
I am drinking because I got it because it was wonderful and it has a great quote. It is called Middle Brow. On the back says, Middle Brow, and it is a crisp German style black beer. And on the back it says, every day of the year, remember, community over country, people over power, be generous to your friends and neighbors, give your time, if nothing else, delete your Facebook, vote for your neighborhood.
That is very Banksy.
And now I will open it, now the squid is not dying. Nice.
We need to get ASMR microphones.
Ooh, I would like hate that. Every other second of it other than that one.
Yeah, it would be the worst.
Yeah, now I'm going to pour this without killing it. Or yeah, should I just drink it?
Are we people who dislike ASMR?
Probably.
That's Have amazing. I ever sent you the GIF of my reaction to ASMR?
Yeah, the GIF of your reaction to ASMR? Sure.
Yeah, the GIF.
The GIF, yeah.
Yeah.
The GIF.
That GIF.
If anyone wants to know what this GIF is, I will immediately put it onto the Twitter with this post to see. Probably before it posts, but I'll put it on the Twitter.
I'm going to guess, having full disclosure, I'm going to talk about it here in a second, but I don't know anything that Banksy has done except the name.
That's fine.
So honestly, by the end of this podcast, this might also be my reaction to Banksy.
I feel like we all have three different reactions to Banksy right now in this situation, and I hope you will all come to the side that I am on, which is hating him as much as Squid hates Ohio.
Don't.
Wow. I did not realize this was going to be a dis Banksy podcast. I'm excited to learn why I should hate him too.
Yes. And I mean, we'll get there. I have feelings. I have a lot of feelings about Banksy. In fact,
she does.
The title of this episode is going to be I don't want to, but we need to talk about Banksy. So, Squid's beer first, though.
I'm going to be drinking Bowen Luke, an Imperial Smoked Stout aged in bourbon barrels by Against the Grain Brewing.
If there's one thing that Banksy is, he's against the grain.
He might also be Bo or Luke. We're not sure.
No idea.
It's on my hand.
Got like some nice carbonation going. We might have a fourth guest. His name is Midas. He's my cat. He's currently staring at me from the floor.
How dare you talk over my boy ASMR? Good stuff. Danny talked through half of it.
I'm so sorry.
I can't put it back in the can, Danielle.
I'm so sorry. So I got so excited when I saw this beer called Middle Brow because we're going to talk about high brow and low brow. So I was like,
that's perfect.
So, like I said, I have a lot of feelings about Banksy, but we know Squid doesn't know Banksy, but how do you feel about Banksy? It sounds favorably, Caleb.
Yeah, I have always enjoyed street art. I think it's really cool. I think it's really punk. I just find that art typically suffers from a lot of elitism. And I'm always excited when I see an artist who is for the people and who does art that is, you know, literally unsellable. I find that cool and exciting. And it always makes me pay attention to whatever he does because I'm like, cool, this has no consumer agenda. It's just art. That's pretty cool.
I feel so bad. I'm going to crush your dreams.
Well, this is my art history lesson.
I'm glad you're here for this.
I've only ever seen his stuff on the street, and I've been like, that's cool.
God, I wish I could have seen it on the street.
I don't know beyond that.
Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know and who are like Squid, just know the name Banksy. He is a street artist based in England, Britain, somewhere in there. Someone's going to attack me for that being the same or different things. I don't know. But what we'll go into before that is, like I said, highbrow, lowbrow. Have you guys heard that term before ever?
Yes. One is good humor and one is my humor.
Yeah, one of them is above my eyebrows, the other one's below my eyebrows.
Okay, perfect. Kind of, yes. So, we're looking at it in terms of art. So, highbrow art is basically fine art. Art
Michelangelo.
Commodifiable Michelangelo. And then lowbrow art is art that is not considered fine art. So, think like
Jesus
comics.
Jesus in pee.
That's also highbrow because now it's in the gallery. So... yeah, if, you know, I made it, questionable, not art, lowbrow. If it's on the cover of a magazine by a famous artist who also uses their blood and it ends up in magazines, highbrow, not magazines.
His blood should not be in magazines.
He would put it there if he could. But, like, digital art's considered lowbrow. Really, it comes down to the fact, like, something that's super accessible is typically seen as lowbrow. Like chalk, basically fancy art chalk, which is pastels, used to be lowbrow because it used to be only for sketching, that ended up becoming highbrow, and now we have pastel works and in galleries and in museums and all that. One thing we look for digital art being excluded is the fact it's so accessible. There's really no original, which is part of it.
NFTs. NFTs.
NFTs. Daniel, what about the NFTs?
Did you guys hear, though, on the subject of Banksy and NFTs, someone shredded a piece of Banksy's work, sold it as an NFT for significantly less.
Yep. That's the one thing. If you were to ask me what I know about Banksy, it's that NFT thing right now. Yeah. It's like that. No one knows who Banksy is.
Yeah. It's a mess. So then in the question of like highbrow and lowbrow, the question becomes, where does graffiti fall in that? Typically, it's considered lowbrow because spray paint, super accessible. We see plenty of people doing spray paint. It's typically vandalism in some way. It's not something that we see in galleries very often. We do see it in some galleries, but it's in a specific display of things, and it's typically in addition to something else. Banksy begins in that type of lowbrow art range.
It's funny because the people that do graffiti, wicked good stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it's that's the thing. That's why I like it. I like art that is accessible, you know? Art that is not, doesn't suffer from the elitist kind of price gouging of the modern art scene, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, which is amazing. Like, when I was in college, I went to Southern Oregon University, and at one point we did have one gallery display of an artist who was a graffiti artist. But part of the display was bringing the setting of where this art is done into the space to help eliminate kind of that idea of graffiti art not done on canvases doesn't belong in gallery spaces. So he would like do it on parts of fences. He did it on beams, and all that stuff got brought into the gallery space itself, which in a way is kind of interesting to see it in a gallery, because that does shift the perspective of, instead of being like, ah, yes, graffiti art, this is rather an installation type piece. And it's almost like multifaceted in that, because when you see a beam with paint on it at a gallery, it's like you see along the bottom, like the supplies and the,
The little like name card that goes on them?
Yeah, the name card, but I'm trying to think of what that is. But basically it says, you know, what's used on it. So it would be like, oh, spray paint, the medium. Board. Yeah, medium. Thank you. Spray paint, wood, whatever. It wouldn't just be like spray paint, which is the thing where it's like, as soon as you bring it into a gallery space, it kind of does shift into something else.
Yeah, I mean, galleries, just the concept of galleries is inherently unacceptable. You know, like it's inaccessible.
I love that. Know? Yes. Unacceptable.
Inaccessibly unacceptable.
Yeah. Galleries are unacceptable.
It's like a less good library.
It really is.
It's not as enriching.
The main purposes of a library is not there.
Yeah.
You can keep it with you.
It really, not even that, but like it's like you said, a less good, not usable library. You walk in and all you can do is look at the covers. You can't understand what's going on behind it. You can see the name, you can see who did it, and you're like, what the fuck is happening?
That's assuming I can understand when I look past the cover.
Ma'am, I saw you reading a book yesterday.
So thank you, Banksy, right?
All right, end of podcast. Been fun.
Here you go. I did it. I've swayed everyone.
Yeah.
Banksy rules now.
So we'll start at the beginning. Like you guys said, Banksy, his identity is unknown. We don't even know technically his gender, but we're pretty sure it's a dude. His spokeswoman uses masculine pronouns. Banksy's actually been out in public selling his own artwork before, and said people walked by him and that sort of thing. But identity is left at Banksy. As far as we understand, started doing work in the 90s. So went from there. All of us are right now in Chicagoland area, so we see a lot of graffiti. And sometimes where it's placed matters too. You see it on train cars. It's typically a type of tagging, or you'll see art travel and it's signed in some way. What's behind it too is interesting. It's like you said, Caleb, it's meant to be seen. It's meant for not like gallery spaces. It's meant for people to see, for people to understand. It's supposed to be readable. you see that, and it's not meant in the same way for that highbrow level of exclusivity. And it's usually like a calling card, an explanation of the area, or some sort of social statement, which Banksy is known for.
Yeah.
And it was...
I remember seeing a film called Exit to the Gift Shop, which talks a lot about... We're going to talk about it?
Yeah. Not in super depth, but go ahead. Yeah. We are going to talk
about it. No, I mean, it's... You know, there are different definitions of highbrow and lowbrow even within the street art community. So,
right.
So like, the whole perspective at which you look at your medium and your message changes within even just ecosystems of art, which I find fascinating.
Right, because, like, the fine art community is different than the graffiti community. You have different levels within that, where the fine artist might see graffiti artists as lowbrow. Graffiti artists can see their work is so much more detailed, intricate, and personal than what you might see in a gallery.
And would also then be like, but tagging isn't art.
Right. Or if you just write your name or spray paint something, it's not graffiti in the way of developing a style or a system or a signature is.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2005, that's when Banksy started getting recognition, even though he'd been doing spray paint and graffiti since the 90s. The first one I'm going to bring up, and this is really the one that caused the most stir, that kind of was like, ah, hello, Banksy, was his work at the West Bank, which is between Israel and Palestine, and warring area. So at that time, it was considered vandalism, and armed forces on both sides of that were like, this is, do not stop it. And some of the residents were upset by it, too. Okay. This particular one that I sent you, Caleb, is called Window on the West Bank. All right. Caleb, do you want to describe it?
Yeah, sure. So it looks like it's been spray painted onto a big concrete wall. I see two white armchairs sitting opposite a big window that opens up onto a... I feel like I recognize that particular depiction of a mountain, but it's a green forest and a beautiful white mountain seen through the window. And there's a like table in the center with flower on it.
Yes. So this particular one, like I said, Window on the West Bank, was considered vandalism. Banksy actually called, and at this time it was something within that community, the graffiti community, that the West Wall was, quote, the ultimate activity holiday destination for graffiti writers. Which, in a warring country, is, in my opinion, a shitty thing to do. To consider it like a holiday.
He says graffiti writing, which is interesting. There are no words in this painting.
But they do say. In this
piece.
A picture is worth 1,000 words. 100 words?
Yeah, but you don't call a picture writing.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
There are also no words on there, so.
No.
Guerrilla artist. That's kind of his, that's what graffiti has always been. It's been guerrilla.
Right.
It's been against the status quo.
Yeah.
Contrarian. Against all odds. They're like the skaters of the art world.
The skaters.
They are also probably skaters.
Right.
Yeah, many of them I'm sure are.
Yes. In this case, though, I feel like it kind of started, hey, this is something to check off my graffiti bucket list, is go between Israel and Palestine and do a big painting.
And it's probably not so much like, yes, between these two places, it's more like, there's a big flat wall.
Right. It's that, and I think that's the part that, for me, bugs me about the start of this, which this is before Banksy was really known for what he's done. Now and in the past, this was really the kind of the beginning, like I said, of his recognition. And for this, I can see it's not great recognition. It's not really, I feel, communicating what we know him to communicate, which is being of the people, being anti-war, being anti, like, corporation, that sort of thing. It's kind of the opposite of that, in my opinion, to start with.
It seems, honestly, kind of, it's the most graffiti of all of Banksy's graffiti works. Like, it's not stenciled. Banksy typically uses a kind of stencil style, where he uses kind of layering with black and white to make more complex shapes and figures. This is just plain colors, freehand paint,
right?
And a kind of almost westernized kind of two armchairs sitting at a window. I'm not sure. It doesn't say anything. If you showed me this, I would not immediately jump to, oh, this is Banksy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think, honestly, what is being portrayed here, I think this is, it makes me think of a lot of beginning artists where they're like, ah, yes, I have this idea of what I want to portray. And in this case, if you think of the location, that there's a war going on in those communities. And so on the other side of that, there literally might be gunfire, there might be explosives, that sort of thing. And instead, a window on the wall going to a picturesque place that maybe he was like, ah, yes, I want to give a window to what peace could be, what relaxation could be, what calm could be. But like you said, it's very westernized in the sense of it feels very disconnected from maybe what exactly is going on. And it feels very like not appropriative, but very minimizing of the situation that is going on.
Yeah, it's difficult to approach a message of peace without ignoring the hurt that's taking place in a community.
Right.
Like, the flower in the center of the... I'm seeing now that the flower is really symbolic. Like, that's an important element, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Being a symbol of peace. So, yeah, I would say it's less combative, this piece of his. It's more of just... look at how peaceful things could be, which is always a diminutive and not complete picture, you know?
Right. So it's very introductory to, I feel like, understanding that and probably his ideas of where he's at, but it feels kind of like, yes, I'm going to this place. Everyone wants to paint there. It's like the way to go. It's the way that you want to do graffiti there, but I want it to mean something. So this is what it's going to be. This is what it's going to mean, rather than like, I'm going to bring in the situation itself, kind of like he does now.
Yeah, which I will say, I respect that a whole lot more than people who would just walk up to the wall and tag it, you know?
Yeah. I feel almost the opposite for me, I think, because with this, there's a lot more intention going behind it. There's a lot more privilege, I think, in the sense of he can go there, he can leave this mark, he's afford to put the time in and then go back someplace safe, where the likelihood of someone coming and just tagging it is someone who lives there, someone who does not have that same security, does not have another country they can go to, does not have that level of anonymity that Banksy may have to then hop on a plane and go back and not have to face any consequences.
You're right. I think there is an element of privilege there. You're right.
I mean, that's also, but I would also say that's also pretty assumptive of what their lives are like. If they're in a war, yes, but it's also assumptive to be like, someone there couldn't just go paint that.
Well, they could. I mean, and that would make a different meaning, but the fact Banksy can back out, that's what I was just saying, in relation to someone who would tag it. The likelihood is someone would not fly from another country to tag it. Banksy has the ability to have the foresight to plan a piece, to pay for travel, to go travel and do it.
Yeah, I think to me the offending element of this particular piece is that he says it's an ultimate activity holiday.
Right.
And treating a war zone like an activity holiday seems to be in poor taste.
Right. And it's...
No, it is in poor taste.
Yeah. Because there's definitely places where people, like, spray paint, they do beautiful graffiti over places that have unrest or are uneasy. And it's typically the people who are in those communities who do that, and it feels different than someone outside of your community coming and doing it.
Yeah, I will say that the peace message, I think that a message of peace really does transcend borders. I think the message of peace is one that is universally understood and universally propagated. But the element of this that offends me is the fact that he has treated his graffitiing as a holiday.
Right. And that's where
taking it more seriously.
Yeah. And that's kind of where that's where my idea kind of comes from, that it's like, it feels off. And the fact that there were locals who were upset by it. Because a lot of times now people are putting up stuff to protect Banksy work. They recognize it as something that they want in their community. And in this case, it was like, ah, yes, here comes another person for a graffiti holiday. Mm. But that also ties in with like the idea of graffiti anyways being anti-conformity, anti like society in the sense of what we picture as picturesque society without graffiti, get it covered up and painted over. There's one piece of Banksy's that's later on that I feel like he starts to get more of his sense of self, what he wants to do, and he understands kind of where it's coming from a little bit more, which is this one called Occupy.
I have seen this one.
And this one, I think, hits the nail a little more on the head for Banksy. Squid, do you want to describe this one for us?
Oh, sure. I sure would. It is a brick wall painted red with white letters that say Occupy with an exclamation mark, which is kind of hastily done because you can tell it's still smeared and kind of dripping. And then underneath it, in very nice classical font, it says The Musical.
Mm-hmm. And this one is a lot more simple than the last one, but I really do like this one.
I bought tickets to the musical. I'm going to occupy it.
That's like what it's there for. Me. I'm going to occupy my seat. This one I like because I feel like it fits more of what Banksy has been trying to do, what he does well, which in this case, this was obviously in reference to the Occupy Wall Street movement, what was going on. For me, the commentary I see on this one is the fact that frequently the amount of like social movements or traumatizing events or major like things turning into musicals, turning into something to present as entertainment, being sanitized and shown in a way that commodifies them. Are you sitting over there thinking of Les Mis?
No, I'm trying to think of what traumas would be turned into musicals, because I don't think Les Mis counts. There's a lot of wild inaccuracies.
Well, it's and that's part of it, is there's so many inaccuracies in a lot of it. Like you said, you talked about Hawkeye, and I don't think this is a spoiler,
but I was
going
to bring that up.
There's the Avengers musical in Hawkeye, and it just right. It shows the, I think in a good way, the fact that doing that can really inspire people, but it also takes away so much from what's going on. There are musicals and plays that do a wonderful job of that. There's Quilt, which is a great, I believe it's a musical. I haven't seen it in a really long time, but Quilt is about the AIDS epidemic. Yep. And people making pieces of the quilt. And that actually inspires people to make pieces for each one about people who have had AIDS, who've lost someone with AIDS. And that one inspires movement, but there's a lot of ways that things get sanitized or shifted into the commercial space. There's a lot of talk within like the queer community that Pride has become a commercial event now rather than a community event. The Black Lives Matter movement has become a commercialized thing as well. A lot of companies pop up with that sort of thing now. Once someone kind of breaks the ice on an element, it starts to become commodified. So
I think that's different than everything becoming a musical, though.
Right.
Like, there's a difference between the commercialization of everything and, oh, well, we turn all our tragedies into musicals.
Right. It's not, I don't think it's being specific in that it turns into a musical, but the fact that it becomes commodified. And that's just a quick, easy way to do it there. In that case, that would be the translation I would see, is that it's talking about the commodification of those situations. Like the
See,
fact,
I would find that less to be a message of like commodification and more just like theatrics, because that's what that was. Because it's not about making money, but Occupy Wall Street really did just become, we're making statements and then right. Like, but not doing anything. Which
my favorite image from the Occupy Wall Street, or it was a video rather, was when a bunch of the rich folks were sitting up on a balcony drinking wine and laughing at the Occupy Wall Street folks that were congregating.
I did see that.
In the street. Oh, it was haunting and hysterical.
Right.
Because it's almost, you know, comedically villainous the way that the rich people are really accurately just sitting on a balcony holding champagne glasses and laughing at the people who, at, you know, laughing, literally laughing at the 99%.
Right.
It appears theatrical, you know?
Yeah.
The optics of it are theatrical because there's a fundamental disconnect between the subject of the art and the people who are making it, you know?
Right.
There's a fundamental disconnect between those who have the power and who don't have to fight against it.
Mm-hmm.
The status quo. It's a common enemy of all street artists.
Right. And then prior to this piece, though, was Exit Through the Gift Shop. So, and
if you've not seen Exit Through the Gift Shop, it's a great movie.
Yeah. I've watched a little bit of it. I don't think I've watched all of it. I did bring it up in this, though, because this begins then talking about the commodification of his work. Do you want to talk a little bit about that musical? Do you want to talk a little bit about
the musical?
About the documentary?
Yeah, I'm glad to. It kind of follows the artistic journey of a underground street artist who makes it into the big leagues and starts making waves in the community by making fun of or kind of throwing shade in Andy Warhol's direction. Mm-hmm. He gets quite famous for a big Campbell Soup street art installation and essentially sells out. And all of the street artists and graffiti community kind of vilifies him for it. And it's a fascinating eye into the ecosystem of what street art is and how you can organize something that is anti-organization.
Right. And there's a journalist called Max Foster who talks about the change of graffiti art being seen as vandalism to becoming fine art as the Banksy effect. So he kind of has become that forefront of that movement, of that organization, of street art being recognized as something more than just vandalism. In a way that, like you said, like that Warhol didn't really have. Like I said, Banksy had been in the street selling his art at one point. And so this was in 2013 that Banksy set up a stall in a park and sold his artwork, original artwork, for $60 a pop. And this one, there's no titles or anything for it. I'm just going to send you some pictures of it.
$60? I take it all back. This guy is an elitist pig. I can't afford a $60 original art print.
Just you wait. So here is, they know it was him doing it and they were originals because he posted about it on his Instagram and on his TikTok apparently now. But Banksy, he sold artwork for, like I said, $60 a pop. I think he ended up selling them all. But now in 2019, we're going back to September 2019, something that was included in that street sale, was that's similar piece. I just compared something similar to it, sold for $945,809. So that's a 1,576,348% price increase in 6 years.
$60 is still a lot of money for one of those pieces of artwork, though.
Right. It does feel like that, right?
Yeah.
And in a way, I mean, it does depend on what art values to you, what that value is. And I'm a big proponent of artists selling their art for what they believe they should be paid for it. Do it. It's your art. You get to decide.
Right. But I mean, people aren't going there to buy his. People aren't going there to buy art. They're going there to buy his art.
Exactly. And that's where it kind of shifts a little bit in my head. And that auction that sold, that was a piece that I said could be one that sold there. I looked for a very simple Banksy piece as best I could. Only black and white, stencil only. This one was from an auction that was titled, "I Can't Believe You Morons Actually Buy This Shit." And it's funny that life imitates art, because then Banksy had that piece he put to auction to sell and it started shredding itself.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite Banksy stories.
So I'm going to send you a video and I will also include this video. He put this piece up for auction in this heavy frame. It's of one of his very famous, like, recognizable pieces, the kid with the balloon, and it starts to shred down. And the only thing that saves this piece is the shredder in the printer malfunctions. And the point was, it felt at this point, you know, he was trying to print, like, get it to shred down, be worthless at that point in auction, because it was worth, like, so much money in that moment. And then it starts to disappear. And that, I feel like, was the intention. The only thing I feel is, like you said, Banksy's work is becoming so well known for being Banksy that that's where the money comes from. And that's part of the frustration, and for me, is that I feel he's lost what he originally had with some of those other pieces.
That's not his fault.
That isn't his fault, no.
I don't have a problem with people spending more money because it's him.
Right. And I really hope that Banksy ends up being this great con artist and everything, but...
The sentence I've never said about someone.
Because now his work is making it strictly into the fine art world. There was a piece done in a community that was on the wall of a store, like a corner store. And then the corner store sold it, and the community was so excited to have it there. The corner store ended up selling it. They removed that piece of the wall and put it in a private collection.
Did the store?
That's first of all, totally against the spirit of street art.
Exactly.
Second of all, not Banksy's fault.
Yeah,
right.
Third of all, like, that's absolutely that's horrid.
Well, see, and I don't find that horrible personally, because if you're like, if you run a corner store, right, and someone comes along and you did not commission a mural,
right, you can do whatever the fuck you want with it, paint over it, sell it, do what you want.
Well, here's the thing: someone comes and defaces your property, whether or not they do it really well or not, they're defacing your property.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. And if it's a small corner store, we're not talking like you're doing it to a Target where Target has all the money. It's whatever. It's a big corporation.
Right.
Because it's probably like owned by one person. The cost of repairing, replacing, and or painting over a wall is not insignificant.
Right.
So you are costing someone money to put your art somewhere so people can see it.
Right. There's a reason why.
It gets you exposure. But if they want to spend it and now they're set for life because you happen to put your name on their wall, great.
Right.
Do it.
Right. Which is fine. And I think, like I said, you can do whatever you want with art. You can destroy it. When someone buys your art or you stick it out in the world and you leave it there, it's not yours anymore. Whatever happens to it, happens to it. Part of it is just like, I feel like Banksy is being absorbed so much by the fine art community that, again, it's like life imitating art. It's become a theatrical thing. It doesn't have the same impact anymore. You don't see what it is as much as you see that's Banksy's.
Mm. Yeah, you know, you're right here. I think in some way, if we're talking about this as a competition, which I'm sure Banksy would call it that, because how can you not call I've shredded one of my pieces of artwork right in front of your eyes?
Right.
An act of opposition. What would you, you know, would you have him stop? He's lost at this point, is what I hear you saying.
That's what it feels like, unfortunately, because like lost. That piece of art he tried to shred ended doubled up being worth value. Money. Yeah, because it's like, oh my gosh, it became a piece of not installation art, kind of. It became like a spectacle, performative art. Exactly. It just leveled up in that. Oh my gosh, how can it get more Banksy than him trying to own us in this point?
That's a great point. I think this is a pretty good microcosm of the Banksy effect.
Yeah.
The painting begins to shred itself, or the work begins to shred itself, and thereby, you know, fails and thereby doubles its value, triples its value. I'm not sure. So he's failed. What does he do now? What would you say Banksy should do now?
So I wrote this down because I'm like, there's two things that this reminds me of. Both are sci-fi works. The first being Black Mirror. The 1 million credits episode, where the guy comes out, he comes out with honest intention, and he does the thing. He gets everyone's attention. He holds that piece of glass up to him, and he gets their attention. He's talking about something that matters. And then he becomes a piece of entertainment. The second thing that it makes me think of is there's a book by Scott Westerfield. It's the Uglies series. There's a second one, so I think it's actually the fourth book. It's called The Extras. And in this one, the characters live in a world of overstimulation. They live in a world of popularity where you want to be recognized. You put what you do online. But these people are so, these characters themselves are so counterculture in the sense of they want to keep doing these extreme acts. They want to disrupt the system. They want to get out of the camera light, but they want to do these things to explain to people you don't need that attention. So they change profiles basically every time they start getting popular. So I don't know what would cause like Banksy to break away from that. I think like a style change would, shifting to it, bringing back to where, because like you said, it's so recognizable. Those stencils, you know a Banksy when you see it. People see a new piece and they're like, that looks like a Banksy. We need to get it authenticated, put something around it so nothing happens until it is. That I feel like really the only way to do that might be getting rid of Banksy. He's already anonymous, but becoming someone else.
That's a really good point. The making Banksy anonymous helps me have no qualms in saying, Banksy, you failed. You've got to change.
And like, you know he can do other stuff.
Right.
Because he painted a lifelike mural.
Right.
On a wall. Like, he can do art.
Right.
Otherwise, he's not a good artist.
Yeah.
Like,
and at the very least, he's creative. Have you guys seen
French Dispatch?
No.
Oh, you guys should watch it. It's the newest Wes Anderson film. There's a really brilliant fine art segment in it. So it's a three short films kind of smushed into one. Mm-hmm. There's a stunning fine art section following an artist who does art out of prison. Highly recommend you watch it. It's really good. That's just an aside.
It makes me think when you say out of prison, I was like, what if Banksy disappeared? In the sense of like, not...
What if we arrest Banksy?
No, I was like, because legitimately, if Banksy stopped creating, if something happened to him, even if he didn't operate as anything else, the world would go mad. They'd be like, we haven't seen Banksy in 15 years. Where is he? There's no way he would have stopped. And it would bring the question of why, which I think also would then help shift things too. And part of me thinks he'd have to go like a complete opposite direction. Obviously, he can do like install work, that sort of thing. He created a piece that they didn't realize was a shredder with mechanics in it. I would love to see Banksy do, not fungus art, could do...
Caleb would love to see him do fungus art.
Yeah, this is where my brain was like, Caleb, fungus, nope, moss. There's people who will grind up moss. You put it in a blender with water and then you stick it on things and then the moss will grow. And so like... doing something completely different, I think, would help shake it a bit. But
yeah, like you're thinking of,
like living,
yeah,
graffiti,
temporal, yeah, temporal art, ephemeral art, art that is destroyed. You know?
Yeah, even like that would be good because it's like this failed. It might be an idea to go in a direction of something that does have a timer. What if he did it with chalk instead of spray paint? And then the first rain is gone, even though that would be something people would keep regardless because they do cover it up. But
it seems like you have an issue against Banksy the symbol, not against Banksy the artist.
Right. And that's where I feel like Banksy as a symbol has kind of failed. Banksy the artist has grown as an artist immeasurably, has gone from someone who did work as part of a vacation to doing work anti-war, police in dangerous communities where the police are the danger, to doing things about children now losing their childhoods, about things that make a difference to communities, but now the people who have the money to take it out of communities or to bring it into galleries, to raise it out of the place that was once accessible is no longer accessible. Like, chances are, before people could walk down the street and see a Banksy, chances are I will never see a Banksy except in a gallery in my life. And neither will a lot of people. So it's, yeah, I think
that's fascinating.
Yeah. I think the issue is that the accessibility and the thought behind the fact that it used to be considered lowbrow by the fine art community and has now been taken away from the accessible portion of the major of the community is my biggest issue.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's convincing. Banksy, if you're listening to this, Sorry, buddy. You failed. You lost. You went against the money, and the money ate you alive.
Did he go against the money, or did he use the money well?
That's part of it, too, is, like, I don't know what he's using this money for.
Like, if you see his first piece, and you're like, that is very questionable, and then he switched message to one that largely resonates with a society that will largely back anything that resonates with them, did he mean it?
Right. And that's where I'm like, I don't know if he means it. I don't know if he's playing it. I don't know if he's donating all the money. That's why I'm like, I really hope. That's what I meant. Con artists of all time. Con the fine artist community and sponsor money within your community.
It's a moot point, though. It's a moot point because he's anonymous. It's almost not even worth addressing because there's no way to hold him accountable.
Yeah. But that's one of the things where it's like, and that's why I'm like, I really hope someday we will find out he's donated all that money somewhere.
Because I doubt it.
I doubt it too. That's why I'm like, that's also what makes me mad is like, doubt we'll ever find out and doubt it's donated. But if we find out that, you know, he sold these pieces for that much money and donated it anonymously, it also would help inspire the fact that, like, you can be an anonymous person, make a difference in your community. However, unless we see those sorts of things, see the changes, it's really just like, again, it almost feels like you're desensitizing people to those messages because it's become such a, like, fine art thing. Like, we see, but in the sense of, like, we see Banksy paint children with guns and we're like, that's a Banksy. Not, he's commenting on children warfare or children with weapons. That sort of thing.
Yeah, well, no, it's the case, this is a, you know, a symptom of his loss, you know?
Yeah.
His name has become more impactful than the art that he has made, which is an issue, you know?
Yeah.
When Batman becomes Batman and not just, you know, the guy who keeps you from doing crimes.
Right. Or when Batman goes to stop a crime and gets swarmed by fans and can't stop the crime.
Yeah, exactly. When it's Batman becomes Batman and not, you know, more people donating to the Wayne Foundation.
So what you're saying is, Banksy's the artist we deserve, but not the one we need right now.
That is exactly what I was
that'll be the new title. Banksy is the artist we need, but it's not the one we deserve.
He either is self-aware and is doing this for profit, or he's not self-aware and he doesn't realize that he no longer has impact.
Right.
And is actually having negative impact. Like, they're either.
Exactly. That's why I'm just like, that's why I have so many emotions.
I can't. I've learned a lot this episode. Thank you. I've been illuminated.
I am illuminated.
Everything is illuminated.
I can see clearly now. The Banksy's gone.
I can't say that I hate Banksy. I don't either.
No, I don't even hate Banksy. I just am. I think it's the direction that, like you said,
hate the fine art community.
I do. We knew this since episode one.
I can say that I hate the name Banksy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hate where Banksy has gone. Hated Banksy in the beginning. Hated him at the end. Middle, great.
Questionable. I find that questionable. And I also have not seen a lot of Banksy this episode. So I still largely don't know any of his work.
Know his name, and that's the problem.
I know his name, sure, but I wouldn't be able to look at a piece and say that's a Banksy.
Right.
Like,
He's got some pieces that are not, like it has become kind of a fad for people to say, oh my god, it's a Banksy. You know, they have a little moment over it, and then someone's like, no, it's not a Banksy, and then, you know.
It's just someone using stencils.
Every once in a while, I'm sure we have a couple of Banksys that slip through the cracks.
Right.
But, you know, like, I don't know Banksy. I don't know anything about him, so.
Just for Squid, we're gonna open
what Google. I saw was his beginning artwork, I saw the kid with the balloon, and I saw Occupy the musical, which, frankly, I don't think was art. So how many of these are still on the walls?
Not a lot of them. This one, I'm pretty sure they put glass around and have now blocked it off, the little dumpster fire boy.
Put glass around or blocked it off? Because
both. First, they put glass around it because they didn't want anyone to destroy it or wipe it up. And then the other one, what's the one that got destroyed? We're going to pull it up. I'm gonna hold
up. I guess I just failed to see the disconnect of, like, even if the fine art community does adopt him. And it's like, Banksy is ours now. We have him. You can't have him back. Ha ha ha. And they and they take all of this graffiti and art that he has, you know, put on walls that he probably didn't get permission to do, but that's a different issue. What's the difference if it now has moved to an inaccessible space of fine art, as opposed to the shopkeeper has decided he didn't want this graffiti on his wall and painted over it a week later?
I think the difference is the ownership. For me,
graffiti shouldn't be owned.
Exactly.
Technically speaking.
Right.
Sure. But he's put it on a wall, and now if someone else is like, I want that wall.
Right.
Okay.
But the ownership is different. The point of removing a Banksy, and Banksy being so high and people buying Banksy, is the ownership is of Banksy's work. The other one is like, that's my fucking wall, don't paint on my store.
Either way, that's my wall, don't paint on my store. I'm going to make money off the fact that you put it on my store now. Thanks.
Yeah, so this is the hula hooping girl, or bike from hula hooping girl, removed for safekeeping. And I think they even took the bike, if I remember correctly. And this is the one the community was really upset. And this was the guy who sold his wall. Again, can't fault him for selling his wall. That's his wall. But people are like, fuck yeah, Banksy, it's going to bring our community up and people are going to come. And then it's just, again, like you said, the 1% drinking their champagne and laughing and taking what they will. And then the other 99% being like, well, shit.
But they're both looking to capitalize on it.
They are. And there are people in the 99% who capitalize on the 1%. But they're...
Well, you know, I bet you everyone who attended that art auction that Banksy did and bought a print seriously considered, shoot, maybe I should sell this for 90, 100, 1,000 times its value.
Right. I would.
I 100% would. We could maybe afford that big castle.
Right.
I wouldn't buy a $60 piece of art in the city, though.
No. I bought a $20 one out of a broken down house in an art show.
There are a couple of...
it's on my wall.
Walking around St. Petersburg, there are a couple of art pieces that I would have paid money for.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's different. I would pay $60 for an art piece. I've done that. I've gone to Comic-Cons and I've commissioned people. I've bought pieces. I wouldn't pay $60 for a Banksy.
Right.
No, well, no. I think, yes.
And you shouldn't.
I mean, if I could get a Banksy right now for $60, I would.
But if you didn't know it was a Banksy, you wouldn't have.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Because graffiti inherently cannot be capitalized.
That's the point. It shouldn't be.
Well, here's the thing, because I did just buy a sweatshirt from one of my favorite graffiti artists.
Right. Again, it's your art. Get with you what you want.
Absolutely wonderful sweatshirt. I love it. He's one of my favorite artists. He's great. I pay him $60 for a print, but he actually does good art. Sorry, Banksy.
Squid hates Banksy for a different reason. Yeah, it's like, skilled.
Like, I'm proud of Banksy for capitalizing on this and preying on the weak, I guess. But, like, his art sucks.
The truly based opinion. Banksy sucks because he sucks. Do better art, loser.
Like, literally. And, like, most of his pieces are, like, they're not even, I don't know.
That's the Exit Through the Gift Shop kind of delves into that. The graffiti / street art community, the artwork is typically really simple, really fast, really, like, intuitive.
Right.
And, like, you know? It's not good. Sometimes it's just not good. But the fact that it is street art and the message that is accompanied with the fact that it is in the street, of the street, in a space, is the thing that gives it its coolness and its value and its punkness.
It makes me think of that wall. She says, as we talk about graffiti.
And we're looking at several walls.
Do you know the wall? The wall that had... like a sentence written on it for a while, and then part of the sentence got covered up and added something else, and then the first part got covered up and they added something else, and,
yes, and it was like, yes, thank you for writing this with me or something at the end after it got covered.
It was like a long, it was like 16 or so different iterations that it went through, but like that, like it's not, That's not art. It's a story.
You know what's my favorite?
It is a community gathering of sorts, but it's not art.
Right. My favorite is there was a wall of graffiti and then they painted over it and then someone spray painted in average handwriting that said this wall used to have art, now it's covered in dicks, and they just spray painted a bunch of simple dick shapes all over it. That's a different kind of storytelling.
That is also a different... That's what most of my novels end up being. No, just kidding. They're not... Wait, I don't write those kind of stories, guys. Sorry. I derailed my own train of thought.
You threw yourself off so hard.
Well, it's also like, this makes me think of the fruit guy. He does, not fruit.
Fruit guy.
The sweets, like food. The food graffiti guy. That literally just goes covers up Nazi symbols.
My favorite is turning it into a Windows logo.
Which is fun, but he did
the cupcakes.
Yeah, so he will see where people have graffitied like SS symbols or Nazi symbols or white supremacist group, whatever. He'll go and cover it up with pieces of food, usually like, you know, fun cupcakes and strawberries and whatnot. And he has come back multiple times to his pieces that have then been defaced again by these same symbols. And he's like, okay, guess we got to make it even bigger this time.
Right. Which I feel like is a level of community impact that benefits those people around him rather than like, ah, Banksy.
Banksy has gotten so big that people are taking the insane amount of money to uproot a wall.
Right.
And transport it to a gallery.
Yeah.
Sorry, bravo.
Banksy, you've lost. You're the only
or
one.
Won. Yeah, I don't
or
know.
One. Either way, one side or the other.
I am firmly in the camp that Banksy won because he's probably a capitalist and he was the one with the champagne laughing at the 99%.
That's where I'm like, I think that's what makes me mad too, is looking at the beginning of his artwork and then looking where it's at now and he's just making money, where I'm like, did he learn his lesson or did he just get better at conning people?
Again, moot point. There's no way to prove him wrong or right.
Banksy, come on this podcast.
Caleb,
Banksy, fucking show up.
You buddy. Assume that I base my opinions on fact and not just wild accusations.
No, look, wild accusation is perfect for Banksy because he's a symbol. He's not a person. He's not real, you know?
True. And his symbol is...
His bank account is real.
I'm a capitalist.
His bank account is real. We have no way of knowing what's happening with that bank account.
But it is real.
It is real. Somewhere out there.
It's probably
a Swiss bank account.
Yeah. He uses a VPN for his bank
offshore,
account.
Offshore account.
Yes. He's got several.
But see, this is why I have so many feelings, and I'm glad you guys could join me on this.
Banksy, graffiti every single one of the banknotes that you get for your art.
Or
completely deface
shred them.
He could
shred your money.
Oh my god. You guys, there's an artist who did an art installation with money and then the second time around was given that money to make the art installation and then took the money and just put up a sign.
Ran away. I've seen this, yeah.
Yes.
They were given a sum of money by a museum to commission a piece, and they put up an empty frame and the name of the piece was Take the Money and Run. They did nothing.
Which bravo again. I love this.
Right, that's what Banksy needs to do. That would be great.
But that's Banksy's doing it.
The frame would sell for multi-millions.
That's true.
Banksy is doing it, but he's doing it better because he continues to do it.
Except for that one guy who shredded his own Banksy and then sold an NFT for less.
That guy's winning. That person is winning.
I bet you Banksy bought the NFT.
Oh, you know what my guess is? Okay, so this is another way I think Banksy could fuck up the system without being
he ran for president.
Yes. But secondly, this would be like, have you guys ever watched those Improv Everywhere shows or like on YouTube that used to do where they'd get thousands of people together and they'd all, there was one where everyone would download a thing and then they would go to one place and then start on the exact minute. And then it would tell people what to do. And then it was this huge, it was basically a
giant flash mob.
Yeah. Except it was less dancing and more weird stuff.
Not all flash mobs are dancing.
Fine.
A lot of them are flashing.
That's true.
Different kind of mob.
But if Banksy got a bunch of people, like I'm talking several hundred to thousands in a bunch of different countries, same day, And then hundreds of thousands to more Banksy showed up in one day, the same exact piece, the same exact stencils. And then that was the last thing Banksy were to ever do. There's no way anyone could collect that many, could sell that many, that it would devalue the last thing that Banksy does.
Yeah, that's a good point. Without, would they all be worth millions, or would they, or would there not be? Yeah, if there's so many, you're essentially invalidating scarcity.
Right. If there were like 40 in Chicago by itself, because I'm sure there would be several hundred people just in the Chicago area.
Or here's what you do. Here's what you do. You make a podcast about art history. Then you make a sticker about the podcast, and you only make 10 of them. That's what you should do.
You're on to something.
That's what Banksy should do. Banksy should come onto our podcast, hang out with us for a little bit.
And then make a sticker.
Publicly.
Yeah. And then disappear.
Donate all of his money to us.
Yes.
And then be done.
Yeah.
I support this one. You know, I kind of liked the idea of Banksy continuing to con everyone for a while, but I like this one.
Yeah, I do too.
Banksy, give us one of your art pieces, or come onto our show and tell us that you're done.
Or just buy one of my stickers and then send me a letter.
Either way. You know what? We're okay with all these options.
Yeah.
Tell us if you're really capitalist pigs. Multiple.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they multiple? Banksy is multiple capitalist pigs in a trench coat.
Listen, okay. But if you look at this art.
One.
Also. Is there a Banksy, or are there Banksy? Banksy.
Like Octopi.
Yeah, because you don't like, could be.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, I.
You don't know.
Could be 16 of them. You don't know.
Right.
That would be pretty cool.
That's why I'm like, get 100,000 Banksy's. Do it across the world. Devalue Banksy in one night.
He's got a couple hundred thousand banknotes.
Couple hundred mil.
That man is anyway, that's been a good episode. This is an hour and a half.
Good. It deserves to be. Thank you guys for joining me and having this very emotional conversation.
I could talk about this all night.
Yes, I could too.
I'm weeping for the state of our world, and that a street artist can't go out there and deface public property without having a dollar sign slapped onto it.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
I'm glad you went from, I'm excited about Banksy, to end it all.
I say we remove streets. No more streets for street art.
Are you saying you're upset that people can't just go out and deface property for free?
I'm gonna say the controversial opinion.
Everyone should be given a stipend of 24 spray paint cans a year to do with what they will for three nights a year, and no one will say anything.
The purge.
If the property has more money than you, deface it.
Wait,
that's what some renters say.
I don't.
If the person whose property that you're defacing has more money than you, fuck it up.
How do you know?
They own the house.
Excuse me, sir. How much money do you make? Oh, that's less than what I make. Let me go buy some spray paint cans real quick.
But making more money than you make doesn't necessarily mean they have more money than you do.
Look, I 100% know several people with more money than I have.
That's fine. That's chill.
You're only spray painting the places of people you know. That's not a great way to not get caught.
Like, I don't. Like, if that's what you're gonna do, great. But, like, I think it would be a bad idea to just be like, you know what? If someone has worked their entire life from when they were 6 years old and they started a business and now they make more money than you.
My spray paint people who have more money than me tag is going to be a stencil of a flower that's an inch and a half tall that I do on the corner of their house that they can't see because they didn't mow their lawn close enough.
That's great. I love that. Let's all maybe when we hang out, we can get some spray paint cans and contribute to the street art out there in the world.
Squid's aggressively shaking her head.
Do it. You're a coward. Do you want Banksy to win?
I mean, I'm the one that said I'm pretty proud of him for winning. I will do other acts of mild aggression. I would cut someone's yard for them.
And be like, shape of a dick. Put fertilizer. Okay, so it's not illegal because it does no destruction, actually helps their lawn. Put fertilizer in a pattern or a shape on someone's yard and let it grow in that shape faster than the other places of their lawn.
And then I will come back every day to water their yard and trim the rest of the grass.
To really make the statement last.
I'm opening a landscaping business, I think is what I'm saying, but for free.
Yeah. Where you go, hey, pranks, and walk away, and it's a beautiful yard.
That's the real anti-establishment.
Truly, it's just, you know, helping your community. Truly anti-establishment.
Do it.
You guys out here defacing property, and I'm going to go help my neighbor, okay?
Yeah. What's the back of that can say, Squid? Repeat it.
It beats all you ever saw?
No, the one I gave you. The one I read at the beginning of the podcast that matters.
Thanks, you. Canceled for domestic abuse.
I looked up, and that was the first can that I saw. Banksy, it beats all you ever saw. Anyway, this beer says
I am inebriated.
I think you said that the last time we were on too.
I'm not even done with my 13% beer and I'm like, it's fine. Every day of the year, remember, community over country, people over power. Be generous to your friends and neighbors. Give your time, if nothing else. Delete Facebook. Vote for your neighborhood. So go out there and mow someone's lawn, guys.
Exactly. Help
Banksy,
your neighbors.
Delete your Facebook. Delete your social media.
Yeah,
no
Banksy, go away.
Period. But first, make better 100,000 copies.
Make better art. No.
Mail everyone in the country a piece of Banksy art. Go real guerrilla art warfare. Put it on every house.
Show up in people's houses.
Start painting on the inside of buildings.
Pop out of bushes and be like, gotcha.
Spray paint the tires of airplanes.
You've been banked.
Get banked.
Get banked.
It becomes a dollar sign. Anywhere a dollar sign appears, you got banked. Just start putting your Venmo at the bottom. No one will want to use it.
Banksy appropriates the dollar sign. America has to change its currency notation.
Oh my god, Banksy would win that. Yeah, unlike Paris Hilton, who couldn't copyright the word hot.
I've learned a lot of things this evening.
Yes, so we're going to wrap it there. For anyone here on this podcast, is there anything you'd like to promote before I do my spiel?
Oh, gosh. I just made a short film, but I can't talk about it yet.
Yeah, this well, is coming for out talking next about week, it. So.
We're glad you came to talk about not that.
Yes.
Hey, we've got some, all three of us have got some cool things coming up soon, right?
Define soon.
Yeah. My soon is this episode on Thursday.
We can't talk about that either. Never mind then.
We can talk about the fact that we are currently and actively working on The World is Dead, and it's happening. I don't know if any of these people have heard about it before.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in. This is kind of a longer episode, and I'm going to plead with Squid to leave in as much as humanly possible, because I loved it.
We'll see.
But you can follow this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. It's Pint-Sized Art History, spelled S-A-I-Z-E-D. Kind of like my last name, except it's not size, it's size. So you can also tweet at us at PintSizePod on Twitter. You can find us on Ko-fi, where you can buy those cool stickers, which I will include in a link here, and you can also find on the Twitter. And you can email us at pintsizedarthistory@gmail.com if there's something you want to scream at us about, and or just say hi.
Or if you're Banksy.
Send me a contract about where you give me money and or we start planning the 100,000 Banksy project.
If you're Banksy, steer clear.
No, just come. I just want to talk.
We just want to talk.
I want to have a conversation.
That's what they call it these days.
I just want to know what you're doing and why.
Banksy, we don't need you.
Do better art. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
What's going on?